KCSN and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender-expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
again, back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was a way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, well, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told them all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me why she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me, made just for me.
Good morning kisses, giving you all mine. Pull back the curtain, needing some nature, need it right now, it can't wait until later. We're always busy, baby, not this time. Playing the tall grass, talking with your eyes, talking with your eyes, before we knew.
Bye.
All right, it's another big Shiro's birthday week, so we're just going to roll with it. Happy birthday to Angel Olsen on Monday, January 22nd. Title track to Big Time, and Dolly Parton turns 78 years young Friday, January 19th, and Coat of Many Colors, the title track to that album, released when Dolly was just 25. Welcome to Shiro's Radio, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It is so great to see you as always, as together we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. This week, our featured guest is Mary Lattimore, celebrating her newest album, Goodbye Hotel Arcata. That's coming up in the second part of the show. Right now, marking what would have been the blues icon Etta James' 86th birthday on January 25th.
Oh, man.
try some more. I said, try.
Crazy to think that Janis would have been 81 this year on January 19th. I got dem old cosmic blues again, mama, is the debut solo and third studio album overall by Janis, which was released in 1969 and was the first album which Janis recorded after leading Big Brother and the Holding Company, the only solo album released during her lifetime. Try just a little bit harder celebrating what would have been her birthday on January 19th. And Etta James and Tell Mama and her birthday on January 25th. My name is Carmel Holt and it's She Rose Radio. Next up, it's our featured interview with harpist and composer Mary Lattimore. Stay with us.
Commercial radio is full of endless obnoxious ads. Obnoxious ads.
Wednesday night.
On public radio, your support replaces them. Subscribe today and keep the SoCal Sound all about the music at thesocalsound.org.
Support for 88.5 The SoCal Sound comes from Rostowita Cantina and Venue, a restored 1920s building located at the gateway to Joshua Tree in 29 Palms. Rostowita Cantina is now offering an all-inclusive bar and food package for weddings, private events, and social gatherings. This package includes all-you-can-eat tacos, margaritas, and open bar. RostoritaCantina.com for pricing and more information.
This is what they sound like.
Sounds like Southern California. All kinds of people, all kinds of music.
It's everything that we love.
88.5 The SoCal Sound.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. There were lots of reasons I was excited to have this week's guest on the show. First, I'm a big fan of hers, both for her own work and her collaborations with some of my favorite artists. And second, I love an opportunity to chat with an artist who's had her hands in a multitude of genres, including classical, experimental, psych folk, indie rock, and what some may classify as new age. And it's exciting to talk music with someone whose main instrument is the harp, which is a change of pace from the more common guitar, piano, and bass players that I usually talk with. If you aren't familiar with Mary Lattimore's solo work, chances are you've heard her amazing playing on recordings by the likes of Thurston Moore, Sharon Van Etten, Wise Blood, Soccer Mommy, Kurt Vile, and way, way too many more to list here. The daughter of a working classical harpist and raised in Asheville, North Carolina, the composer, harpist, and multi-instrumentalist was classically trained on the harp from age 11, but following graduation from the Eastman School of Music, Mary Lattimore moved to Philadelphia and dove into the underground and indie music scene there. Over the years, she's become known as an innovator and ethereal improviser who often uses electronic effects to expand her sound. An in-demand session player and collaborator, Mary Lattimore has put out 5 solo albums. Her first was released as a self-titled cassette in 2012, then reissued the following year as The Withdrawing Room. At the Dam followed in 2016, Hundreds of Days in 2018, and then her critically acclaimed 4th album, Silver Ladders, in 2020. A few months ago, Mary Lattimore returned with her 5th solo effort, the gorgeous Goodbye Hotel Arcata, and she joins us now as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Mary Lattimore, welcome to She Rose. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks so much. I'm really happy to be here, too. This is fun.
Congratulations on the new album, Goodbye Hotel Arcata. you just told me is how it's pronounced.
Thanks so much.
Why don't we start by talking about how and where this album was made? I know that you often travel to different places or travel during the making of your record. So tell us about this one.
Yeah, I usually love to just get the inspiration from a bunch of different places that I'm not really used to being in, you know, kind of having an alien feeling incorporated into the recording. A lot of these I worked on at home, though. I have a little studio in the second bedroom of my house, and my harp is in there with some synthesizers and stuff. And I had a really good time sitting down and just making stuff and processing tours or you know, processing being home and memories that I had from different experiences throughout the 2 years that I was making it. And so, you know, had fun kind of like holing up and working on the songs. Some of them I did record in different places. Like one of the songs was a song that I made with Roy Montgomery, who's a New Zealand guitar player. And I was at an artist residency in Wyoming on a cattle ranch. And so Roy and I were kind of pen pals passing songs back and forth to try to, you know, get guitar and harp on. That was from a couple years ago. And then I just polished it up at home. And I worked with this producer, Rob Schnapf, who is a wonderful dude and like very accomplished producer and mixer. And he helped me kind of polish the songs, because sometimes, for better or worse, I make songs that are like sprawling 9-minute things, you know, that are improvised and kind of go into different places. But this time, you know, I wanted to make them more like songs, less improvisatory, but a little more polished. And so I got Rob to kind of help me trim down the songs and edit them. And that was really fun, too. That was in Los Angeles, where I live as well. So I really think of it as a record that I made at home, but reflecting on things from the past.
Well, I'd love to start with one of these songs for those that are newcomers to Mary Lattimore. This is instrumental music, but you do have some human voices here. Maybe we could talk about track one, sees you reuniting with your old friend Meg Baird.
Yeah, Meg. I had such a fun time working on this because, you know, I made it at home just one afternoon, just sitting at the harp. And also there's Omnicord on it, which I had just gotten this Omnicord, which is a pretty cool little instrument. It's Japanese, battery powered. It kind of sounds like you press buttons and then you push this thing, kind of has glissando-esque sounds to it. You can hear it in the song, but I had a lot of fun messing around with my new Omnicord and sat down with the harp too. And I made the song kind of based on this experience I had as a child winning this drawing contest where I got to go to Sesame Street Live to see Sesame Street characters, you know, sing and dance. And I got to invite some little school friends of mine. And then I got to go backstage and meet some of the characters, Big Bird and the Honkers and stuff. And it was so much fun. But it also like gave me the knowledge that amazing things happen backstage, you know,
yes.
And like, oh, there's a magic behind the curtain that people don't get to see a lot. And so the song is kind of about escapism a little bit, thinking about this benevolent yellow bird wrapping his wings around your little child body and like, oh, maybe taking flight with you or something, just kind of like feeling protected and like being taken away from the troubles of the modern world. That's how I see it, even though I don't think Big Bird could really fly. But then after I made this song, I passed it along to Walt McClements, who's a very dear friend of mine. He plays with Wise Blood. He plays keyboards with her, but he also is a very amazing accordion player, and he puts the accordion through effects. Kind of sounds droney and rich, and saturated is always the word I think of when I think about his playing. It's just like a lot of colors. And I passed the song to him, and he added some beautiful accordion on the song. And then I went up to Eureka, California, where Meg lives, my really close friend Meg Baird, who has this very silvery, gorgeous voice. And she and I and our friend Ben Chasney recorded her parts, and she layered them, and that was really fun for us. And then we had spaghetti. It was just like a really fun, like little trip on the plane, a quick trip up to record these vocals and then hang out. And, you know, the nice memories of the recording are embedded in the songs too.
Thank you.
And then he wrapped his wings around me. It kicks off Goodbye Hotel Arcata by Mary Lattimore, who is our guest today on She Rose. When you're composing the songs, is there a starting thought or a story or a concept that then you respond to? Is there a visual that you're having as you're creating or writing or improvising? And maybe it's different for each one, but like for this specific one, was this a triggered memory even that came up as you were playing?
I would say so, yeah. Each time, mm-hmm. It's always like a little story and a little visual in my mind. I'm like really nostalgic as a person, and I always want to try to remember something with an undulled kind of feeling. And unfortunately, like, especially as I get older, I'm not able to, like, the memories drift further and further away. And my instinct is to like preserve and grip on to that memory and that feeling that I had as vividly as I possibly can. And I've learned that a way for me to do that is to try to make something that triggers the memory. So I would say that I start out with this feeling like, oh yeah, that was such a great time. Or, oh yeah, my heart was or is so broken. I need to process it. I need to remember how this feels, even though I know that it won't feel this way forever. Right. You know, it's an interesting exercise. And, you know, in the end, I feel like I'll probably have a bunch of records with a bunch of little stories and inside jokes with myself. And that'll be like a life's work.
You know what? That reminds me of a recent conversation I had with Leslie Feist, because she was talking about how she started doing this exercise or a practice where she's burying little hidden secret mm-hmm. messages to a future self yeah. in her songs, you uh-huh. know, so that when she can go back, she can find them again. I loved that so much.
Totally. That's exactly it. I would love to talk to her about that sometime. That's really cool. And I also feel like it's little like tributes to your past self. I've been recently thinking about how much I am into The Cure, you know, like my favorite band of my whole
yes.
life. And
yes.
I'm like loving them even more than I ever have. But just thinking that you have this band that has been with you since you were 11 years old, like through all the crazy stuff. And oh, my little 15-year-old self weeping and reading poetry to myself and listening to The Cure and smoking cigarettes. Like, she would be so amazed to know that Lowell from The Cure is on this new record. He's the original drummer and founding member. He's actually on this record. And just thinking about like living a little bit in service to 15-year-old Mary, like, it's so wild. I love it.
All right, now we have to play some of Arrivederci, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
What else do you want to tell us about this track before we play a little clip of it?
It felt like very cathartic when I made this track, because I made it after I came home from embarrassingly getting fired from a harp job, which is very rare, fortunately, but also I deserved it. And like the parts that I was asked to play were really hard and I practiced them a lot. But when it came down to it, I just did not sound as great as like a session musician would. So In the end, I was just like, I'm sorry. I feel like you deserve to have a better sounding harp on this track. It's a beautiful part. Here's the number of some other harpists you can call. And then I came home and I just like cried my eyes out and I was like, I'm a failure. But then I just went to the harp and I just made this song like an hour after I got home. And I was just like, I need to make myself feel connected to the instrument in the way that I want to be again. I feel like it reset something for me. And so I feel happy about this one, especially like Lowell playing synthesizers on it is just a dream come true. And that sparked our friendship too, which is great.
Okay, inquiring minds want to know, aka me, how did you meet him? How did you make that happen?
Oh yeah, I have this friend Joe Wong who is, we kind of laugh because we're like, everybody knows Joe. Like Joe's a friend in LA and he also has a podcast that's called The Trap Set. And originally it was just drummers, because Joe is a drummer. And so Joe wanted to interview drummers about their careers and practices and stuff and backgrounds. Like when I lived in Philly, I lived with a drummer, Chris Wilson. He is a drummer for Titus Andronicus and Ted Leo and The Pharmacist. And he knew Joe. He had been on his podcast. And so when I moved to LA, he introduced me to Joe. And then Joe kind of opened the door, introducing me to a lot of really interesting artists, musicians, and has just been a great friend. And Joe was like, you're going to be happy to meet this person and introduced me to Lowell. And, and I was like, oh my gosh, of course, this is just so cool. And then eventually, yeah, I asked him to play on this song and he was down. And I was hosting this New Year's Eve party and had kind of a big rager. It was really fun and delightful, sparklers and champagne and stuff. And I got an indication on my phone that he had sent his parts back. And so I kind of like retreated into my room quietly and listened to his parts on my song. And that was just like the perfect way to end the year and start a new year, because it was just what the song needed. And I mean, the sounds are just so familiar and beloved to me.
Arrivederci featuring Lowell Tallhurst of The Cure on the new Mary Lattimore album, Goodbye Hotel Arcata. So far, we've covered track one and two. And track one took us back to little bitty Mary. How old do you think you were when that happened, when you met Big Bird?
I think I was probably seven.
Okay. And then like The Cure, who you said you started to love and have forever after loved, and now you love even more at age 11. Mm-hmm. And that's the next track. So I feel like we're also kind of taking a little time travel through your personal history here, too. It's
awesome.
That's
funny. Yeah, that's really cool.
Why is it called Arrivederci?
Well, the job that I got fired from was an Italian, beautiful Italian composer. I walked away in shame.
Yes, I see now. That makes perfect sense. But like, way to like pull yourself up and make something beautiful out of something painful, if you need to do that. The other thing that I was thinking about before we got on the line today was, wow, so not only have I never had a harp player on my show, nor do I think I have ever interviewed a harpist. No, I don't think I have.
Wow.
So that's exciting. But also, it's interesting to talk to somebody that plays an instrument that is, correct me if I'm wrong, gendered, but like in the opposite direction. I can't think of any other instrument. I don't know, maybe the flute?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, are there any other instruments that you can think of that are like really strongly associated with a female-bodied person playing them?
Nope. I'm trying to think. Yeah, the flute. But I mean, the funny thing is, like, the two founding fathers of the harp techniques were both men, and they trained gaggles of girls and women on how to play their technique of the harp, you know. I would also say there are a lot of European harpists who are men. So I feel like it might be like an American thing, actually.
Weird.
Where it's, yeah, I know a bunch of men in Europe who play the harp, and I don't think that it's seen as a feminine instrument there.
Okay, so like on the other side of the fence, what is it like, Mary, to play an instrument that actually our gender owns?
I mean, I don't know if I have ever felt like our gender owns it. I mean, I just know that like Marcel Grangin, he's like my grand teacher, you know, he taught my teacher. And I guess because I know male harpists, that I don't really think that we own it. But I do feel like it is really cool when I see young American boys learning how to play the harp. That brings me great joy, you know, to just take away any kind of expectations or limits, whether it be gender, race, or like genre at all, because I think the harp has held such a like, oh, it's a precious museum style instrument that don't get too close to it, you know, like don't be too rough with it. Like, I think that the door needs to be open to anybody that wants to try to learn and play. And it's really fun. I think it's very cost prohibitive and it's heavy, but there are different programs where you can get funding to have lessons or scholarships or rent to own programs. And I don't know, I just really want it to be seen as an instrument that anyone can try to play. I don't know. It does feel cool, you know, to have a lot of harp friends, and the community feels supportive as far as you can use my harp when you come to such and such place, and I'll use your harp when I come to California, and that kind of thing. And I will say, I mean, a lot of my friends are women in this harp world, and that does feel like a little harp club where we're just like, yeah, use my harp. Yeah, I'm coming to your show, like that kind of thing. But if there were more male harpists in LA, I would feel the same way about them too.
Right. When I said that we own it, what I meant was being free of the like, wow, you play the harp really good for a girl. I mean, you probably have never heard that.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that I haven't heard that, but I have heard, we'll mic this for you. Like on the technical side, playing a show, like, you know, I feel like that's where the bias comes in, or like the opinions, the mansplaining comes in when you're trying to set up your stuff. But that's the way everybody feels, I'm sure. It's just the nature of things. It's fun to be an expert on something.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Like last night at Town Hall, it was so lovely because like the sound engineer is like, your pickup sounds so great. Tell me about it. You know, I want to take a picture of it. I want to know like the kind of harp pickup in case I ever need to use this information for another harpist that comes into Town Hall. And I was like, wow. To myself, I was like, this is so cool that I am the expert that is being consulted on harp miking. I mean, I'm 43 years old, and finally to feel like a little bit of an expert on something feels great.
Wow, congratulations.
Oh my gosh, it took a long time.
Wow. Why do you think that took so long?
I don't know. I'm also still learning a lot every single time I play.
Sure. Aren't we all? Yes. There's so much to know. Mm-hmm. Well, what can you tell us about your personal journey with music?
Well, my mom is a harpist, and so I was able to watch her career as a kid, you know, watching her get ready for gigs and seeing her travel all over North and South Carolina, Tennessee, you know, the neighboring states around North Carolina where we lived. And, you know, seeing her work really, really hard at playing weddings and teaching a million students and having a harp ensemble and spending her days with us as kids, but then having this sort of secret world where she would go off and do her work and like play and make money in that way, wearing like a dress and like putting on lipstick and perfume and leaving the house. We would also go to a lot of her orchestra rehearsals and concerts. And I feel like that was my role model as far as seeing that music as a career. So I was very, very lucky to have such a role model and have harps around and have it be a familiar sound growing up. And when I was 11, I started to take lessons, and I didn't really want to at first because, you know, practicing as an 11, 12 year old, it's not that fun. But eventually I learned to really love it, and it was always my goal to also be an orchestral harpist like my mom. Mm-hmm. And I went to music conservatory, but at the same time, I listened to a lot of music that wasn't classical, and I worked at a bunch of record stores, and I worked at a radio station in college and listened to rock music, indie rock, and then have this classical world where I practiced a lot and playing with orchestras in school. And so I think the pivotal moment for me was moving to Philadelphia and meeting all these people that were in bands. And they wanted me to put harp parts on their records. And so I kind of learned how to write parts. But I would say that unlearning all the classical music, like rigidity, was a tricky thing. As far as being a girl growing up and wanting to be a musician, I mean, I guess a thing I was thinking about today was like my parents were kind of afraid for me to go into music because, you know, I had seen my mom having this great career and making money and doing what she loved. But she saw it as like, because she was and is married to my dad, who always had a very steady job with health insurance and stuff for our family and a regular salary, my mom saw that as like, Mary, it's going to be hard for you if you're not married with a husband who can provide the health insurance, because freelance life isn't enough. She's like, the only reason why I can do this is because I have your dad who's holding it down with the steady job. And so I feel like as a person who likes to drift around, I'm not in a relationship, I'm not getting married anytime soon to a man who has a steady job or health insurance. And so I feel like hearing her say that made me even more determined to figure that out on my own. I don't know. I think we're just like in a different time now than when I was growing up. But it is hard to cobble together a million different musical small jobs, especially getting older. It's hard work to be a musician. It's not just a romantic, fun thing. It's really hard. But I mean, I just really love to travel and see the world and play for people. And mm-hmm. so it's like a great joy. And it's like the honor of my life to get to play for a room full of people that are listening, and especially if they're hearing the harp for the first time or seeing the instrument played in person for the first time. I don't know. I just think it's so cool to be able to carry that torch a little bit.
Mary Lattimore, our time is speeding by. I can't believe it. And I want to make sure that I leave a moment for the closing exercise called the Shiro's Magic Wand. Are you ready?
Okay.
For the Shiro's Magic Wand. Okay. So the Shiro's Magic Wand, we close each show this way, and I say to my guests, as I will say to you, Mary, I bestow upon you the Shiro's Magic Wand. With it, you have the power to change anything in music and the music industry in particular, for women, for non-binary people, for queer folks. If you held this magic wand in your hand, first wave of the wand, what would you do? What would you change?
Oh, wow. This is a really, it's a cool question. I mean, I've just been, unfortunately, just hearing about so many gross men who are, you know, being called out on just being gross to women. And to me, it makes me really mad. Even if I don't know the full story, I'm like, how hard is it to not be accused of assaulting someone? I've never been accused of assaulting someone. I just feel like it's cool that these men are being called out on it, for sure. But it's just so frustrating that they felt like they could do something like that to begin with. And I feel like, I don't know, the magic wand would just be used to take all those creeps away. Just yeah. send them away or just to be rehabilitated or something. I'm really tired of us having to have that dark cloud over what we're trying to make. You know, we're trying to make something beautiful and sincere and cool and good for community and good for people to connect with emotionally and all that. And just such sincerity with this music that it shouldn't have these like dark clouds of assault hanging over this cool thing that we're trying to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's so important. I mean, safety, what a basic right.
I know. It's so frustrating that this is in the fabric of what we are doing. Again, you know, for year after year after year, new things being revealed, and it's just awful. So
I agree. I'm hoping that there will be more conversations around this too. I know that also not only on the performer's side of the equation, but also audience members, women not feeling safe or queer folks not feeling safe to go into, you
know, big time
music venues to see shows without being groped or without being assaulted or
we're just all trying to have a good time and make stuff, and the world is hard enough, you know.
That's right. Mary Lattimore, it's been amazing to have you here.
Thanks for talking.
Clearly, we're having a great time. It just flew by. Goodbye Hotel Arcata is the name of the new album. Why don't you pick, if you would, one last track to take us out with today so we can hear your music as we float away.
Oh, thanks. Maybe we should listen to music for applying shimmering eyeshadow.
I was going to suggest it. That's awesome. What can you tell us about this song?
That one, I partly made it after I was on tour with Beach House. And I have this vivid memory of Victoria from Beach House, who's a friend of mine. She was getting ready at the King's Theater and like going into her dressing room. She had her own dressing room. And as I remember it, it had those lights, you know, vanity mirror lights. And she was getting prepared for the show. And, you know, just thinking about like, I want to make some music that you listen to while you're getting ready to have this experience before you go out onto the stage. You're preparing and you're thinking about your power and you're thinking about like stepping out there in front of everyone and being vulnerable and also connecting with people. And this is what you've worked for, you know, and now you're taking that power and you're going out there. And I really like getting pumped up, like listening to music when I'm getting ready in the green room too. And I'm like, okay, I want to make a song that I would want to listen to while getting ready. The little rituals before you go out on stage to present what you've made to thousands of people. It's a very unique moment that you have with yourself before you go do that.
Are there any rituals that you have that work for you?
I definitely like having a glass of champagne and listening to a record that I really like and closing the door, not letting anyone else in, and just looking in the mirror and being like, yeah, you've worked hard for this, you know, like, go do it. I get a little bit of stage fright sometimes or anxiety, but it really helps to just like look yourself in the eye and just be like, man, you've worked hard for this, and like, just take it, do it.
Mary Lattimore, thank you for being here on She Rose. This has been such a pleasure.
Yeah, same here. Thanks so much.
Many thanks to Mary Lattimore for being with us. Her fifth solo album, Goodbye Hotel Arcata, is available now on Ghostly International. Today's interview was condensed and edited for broadcast. And to hear the full conversation, subscribe and download to the She Rose podcast, available everywhere. Next, we close the hour wishing two more She Rose a very happy birthday when She Rose Radio continues. It's She Rose Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt, now celebrating another She Rose birthday, and an artist who began as a classically trained musician. Alicia Keys is 43 this year on January 25th. Now this from her multi-Grammy winning debut album, Songs in A Minor.
I keep on falling in and love. Sometimes I love you, sometimes you make me blue. Sometimes I feel good, at times I feel used. Loving you, darling, makes me so confused. I keep on falling in and out of love with you.
Sending happiest birthday wishes to Sean Marshall, a.k.a. Cat Power. Hers is Sunday, January 21st, and the title track, To the Greatest. That does it for this week's edition of She Rose Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Please do download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast for full versions of all of our interviews distributed by TalkHouse and available everywhere. And don't forget, you can call and make a request or leave feedback at 833-MY-SHERO. That's 833-MY-SHERO. Find and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at She Rose Radio, and I'm at Carmel Holt. Until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
I want a Sunday kind of love. A love to last past Saturday night, and I'd like to know if it's more than love at first sight. I want a Sunday kind of love. That's on the square. Can't seem to find somebody.